Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
This team, there he is again.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches, gets a step to the baseline. John with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
We got some football coming up in 2 hours. Right here on Sports 1140, we've got the Rams hosting the Vikings. And coming up in 60 minutes, we'll have Brian Baldinger on from the NFL Network. We'll talk to Baldy about some of the things that he saw on the breakdown of his film work from last week. We'll ask him about tonight's game and move ahead to this weekend. And we got the Ryder Cup starting tomorrow over in France.
You watching?
No. You know why? Well, tomorrow I would watch a little of it. You want to know why I'm not watching it over the weekend?
Why?
It's too early. You know, you got to get up at 3 in the morning. I'm not getting up at 3 in the morning to watch the Ryder Cup.
You ever heard of DV freaking R?
You know what? I'm not, you know, it's football season. I got college football to watch on Saturday. I got the NFL to watch on Sunday. Golf season's over. Not watching golf. Golf's over. Not watching it. Don't care.
It's not over.
It's over. Golf is over. Golf ends as soon as football starts.
No. Ryder Cup just it doesn't come around every year, Grant.
No, I know it does, but they need to play it later. You know what? If you're on the East Coast, it's okay because you don't have to get up super. Well, you do, but if you're on the West Coast, it's ridiculous.
Nah.
I'm not watching it.
DVR.
Not watching it.
I'll tell you about it. Don't worry.
Yeah, I would like you to tell me about it. I'll watch it.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to be up at 3.
I will watch the highlights.
Oh, you'll be real informed. You don't want, you want all the little stuff.
Right? I honestly, if I get up early on Sunday.
Okay.
Like what I mean early, if I get up at 7,
okay,
I'll turn it on and watch the end of it before the NFL starts at 10. That's if.
Do you watch the NFL pre-shows?
No, I
know.
I don't care
today.
About that. You know what?
You don't watch any of that?
I used to watch it all the time. I can't watch it anymore. It's just ridiculous.
Why?
It's just senseless banter back and forth. I don't learn anything from watching the pregame. The only segment that I find useful is Jay Glazer, you know, when he says, are you in or you're out? Other than that, no, really, when he goes down the guys that are late scratches or whatever. Yeah. Other than that, I don't really care for it.
Yeah, speaking of late scratch,
and if I do watch it, I watch the Fox pregame. I think they're the best.
Who's on that Fox? Is that
that's with Jimmy Johnson, Michael Strahan, Michael Strahan, Terry Bradshaw, Jay Glazer.
Terry.
Huh?
Terry is.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I do watch it, then that's, you know, pretty much what I'll watch.
Okay. Denver tight end Jake Butt. You see that? Maybe.
I know.
Or his ACL. Man, non-contact in a walkthrough. Goodness gracious. Terrell Pryor looks like he's going to have a growing. We're going to talk about this game a little bit tonight.
Yeah, Grant, I want to talk about this game. Well, the pick to me, I'll give it to you right now, are going to be the Rams because I don't think the Vikings, number one, are going to be able to protect Cousins enough. I think the Rams are going to blitz the heck out of him knowing that they don't have their corners playing tonight. So if they're able to get to the Cousins, he'll turn the ball over. This is a short week for the Vikings coming off maybe the worst loss that this franchise has had in a long time. I think it's too big of a chore for them. A Thursday night, if it were Sunday night, I'd give them a little bit of a better chance. Thursday night, I think it's a real disadvantage for them.
Yeah, you got Thielen, you got Diggs, wide receivers. I understand you might get something there, but when you talk about Sue and Donald getting to the quarterback, I think that is going to be just huge. This is really going to come down probably Todd Gurley running all over the place. You got to throw Brandon Cooks in there. And obviously, as well, Cooper Kupp is having a – you know, he has the ability to have a huge game. I'm going to go with you here. I think on the road, first of all, you're going to have Minnesota. They'll come back. They'll probably play better. But this is a Rams team that if they don't do anything else, Grant, they put points on the board. And that's going to be hard for the Vikings to keep up with.
Did you see – that CC Sabathia was ejected from this afternoon's game in Tampa?
Why?
Vic Carpazio, the home plate umpire, gave a warning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sabathia hit a guy in the sixth and got ejected. Do you realize that if he is able to finish that inning in the next inning, he would have gotten a $500,000 bonus for innings pitched this year?
I'd be searching for Vic.
So, well, hey, you know what?
Well, he might have got away from him, Grant.
How about that? $500,000, Vic Carpazza, in the bottom of the sixth, all right?
Goodness, really?
Threw a 92-mile cutter into the leg of the catcher. And
yeah, I have to see
And here's the other deal.
Okay.
CC did not deny it. He goes, I don't really make decisions based on money, I guess. Just felt like it was the right thing to do in terms of throwing at the guy.
Okay.
So there you go.
I was going to say, you said, did CC get a warning or did
they both
teams?
Both pitchers. Well, when you get a warning, it goes to both teams.
Both teams. Yeah. Okay. Well, and listen, if he owned it, that's, hey.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
He said, all right, because the reliever for Tampa sailed a pitch behind Yankees catcher Austin Romine's head. Then there were warnings. So that means the next batter to be thrown at or hit is an automatic ejection. Sabathia said, anytime you feel like your player's safety is in jeopardy, all guys take exception to that.
Oh, boy.
So there you go.
What'd you say, a 94-mile-an-hour cut?
92.
92? Well, that's good that he's throwing 92, isn't it?
Here's the deal. When you make as much money as Sabathia, losing 500 grand is not, you're not even going to know it.
Ah, you will when you get my age.
Let me repeat. When you're making the type of money that CC Sabathia is making, 500,000 is not a big deal.
Let me repeat. He will at some point when his kids are going to school, something. It'll come up, Grant.
And he's probably going to get fined on top of that for what he said to the Tampa Bay dugout when he was exiting the field, which I can't repeat on the radio because then I'll get fined.
Really?
Anyway, I thought that was interesting that he gets ejected in a game in which he had only allowed one hit, and all he had to do was not only to complete that inning and then the next inning, and he would get 500 grand. And you know Aaron Boone's not taking him out.
No.
You got a big lead. You're not going to do that to one of your guys. Everyone's aware of the incentives. How about that?
Yeah, that's huge. Grant, yesterday you were talking about the National League. I was listening to Mad Dog earlier today.
Me too.
And there are a lot of possibilities and things that could happen. It almost sounded like, and correct me if I'm wrong, they could almost have a play-in for the play-in or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, it's going to be a lot of fun watching all this come down to the wire.
And the Dodgers, who are trying to get in, they're in San Francisco beginning tomorrow.
Think all that'll be heated?
So in the NL Central, the Cubs lead by a half game. Mm-hmm. In the NL West, the Rockies lead by a half game. Do I think we'll be heated?
Yeah.
How do you define heated?
Well, you got Bumgarner. They held him back.
I think the Giants will play to win the games, if that's what you're asking me. I don't think they're going to lay down.
Now,
do I think it's going to be heated where guys are going to be thrown at each other? No, but I think that the Giants will compete.
Okay. So
that's their M.O.
You know, Bumgarner and Puig, they aren't necessarily friends.
You know what? Again, I don't see it getting that way. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is no better place for the Giants to be in because Giants fans, they always anticipate being in the playoffs, playing for World Series. But no better time than have the opportunity to knock out your arch rival, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Well, it's going to be this weekend in San Francisco. All right, we got a lot to talk about. Remember, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. The Ryder Cup begins tomorrow in France. We've got college football going on. We have got all kinds of things to talk about this weekend, which begins today because we have got Thursday night football with the Vikings at the Rams. So when you talk about this game, the Rams banged up in the secondary. The Vikings coming off a horrendous, just an awful performance on Sunday.
Man, that's the best way that you can describe it, being 16 or 17-point favorites and just going out and laying an egg. I don't know if it's your concentration, your focus, your game plan, whatever it is. And, Grant, you pair that with the fact that they did that at home. That was a home game. Could you have been looking forward to the Rams? Yeah, but those are the reasons that you might not be an elite team if you can't or if you're playing to the level of your competition. You should have squashed them and moved on to this week, which would have even made it a bigger game, and it's still a big game. But the Vikings right now, are they 1-1-1, Grant?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not where you would think that you would be after being in the NFC Championship game.
By the way, feel free to call Doug Christie on Sunday after 3 in the morning when he's up watching the Ryder Cup, because it starts at 3 a.m. And, you know, since he's going to be up watching it.
That local time?
California time, 3 to 10 is the coverage. 3 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Hey, well, first birdie, I'll be calling you.
Go ahead and call me. My phone's on silent when I'm sleeping.
Really?
Why would I want to be awoken by calls in the middle of the night?
Because maybe it's me. You want to answer the phone if I call you?
I'm actually going to turn my phone off.
You know what? There will be texts waiting for you when you wake
up.
How about that?
I like texts when I wake up. That's all good. I got no problem with that.
Really? You put your phone on silent?
Yeah, of course. Why would you not put your phone on silent?
I was just asking. I do.
You do?
Damn right I do. I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, me too. No, absolutely.
Hey, but there will be text waiting for you. First birdie.
Eric Reed is back in the NFL as the Carolina Panthers sign him. I thought Atlanta might sign him, but today the Carolina Panthers sign the former 49er defensive back, Eric Reed.
Yeah, it's good for him. Being out, he is a guy that can compete and can play at this level. He's demonstrated that. I agree with you about Atlanta, though, because of all the injuries and different things. Do you consider not signing him or even someone like him kind of, I don't want to say mailing it in, but, I mean, they're going to be struggling, Grant. When you look at that division, boy, oh, boy, they're in trouble.
I was surprised. If I were Atlanta, I would have signed him. You need help. To me, he would help you. But he's not. He's going to a division rival now. He's going to Carolina. I think Atlanta's got some real big problems. Losing three starters and arguably three of their top four starters on defense are out for the year. That is devastating.
It is. Well, listen to their next three games. Bengals, Steelers, Bucks, and then, of course, your Giants. But those are some games that
– You're reading Carolina or Atlanta?
Atlanta, excuse me. You would think that Atlanta would be in a better position.
Right.
But right now, with the way that they're playing, those three games look a little different. Steelers are going to be looking to get wins. The Buccaneers are playing well. And the Bengals are better than a lot of people thought they would be.
And that Monday night game, the Atlanta-New York game, that is Monday night down in Atlanta. All the bright lights, the stage, that's going to be a very interesting game.
Yes, well, and a game that if your Giants continue to – kind of move forward, and it could be a game that really tips the scale for them.
Yeah, we'll do our picks tomorrow. The Giants actually are at home against New Orleans on Sunday. We'll go over the entire schedule. The Raiders are at home against Cleveland. We'll do our picks tomorrow. I'll just tell you, as I sit here and analyze this game, I would be surprised, okay? Not shocked. I would be surprised if the Raiders lose on Sunday.
That sounds about right. First of all, it's a home game. You got a rookie quarterback, but he seems to have a little swag about him. The Raiders have been in games, especially early. They've had leads at halftime. They haven't been able to capitalize and get some W's. I would probably agree with that premise, Grant, that this is a game that they are going to probably get the lead early, and they're going to figure out a way to close this one out. I don't know what that'll be. They've had the ball on the one-yard line. They've tried to get tricky and cute and different things and haven't been able to capitalize.
Sacramento and the Kings continuing their two-a-days as they only had one practice today. It is in the books, and so they will leave on Sunday for Phoenix, and they will play Monday night in Phoenix. They will play Thursday night in L.A. against the Lakers. They will play Friday up in Seattle. So we'll get a chance next week. Half the preseason schedule will be played. We'll get a look at some of the combinations that Dave Yeager will use. We'll get a look at Marvin Bagley extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to get a pretty good idea of how much De'Aaron Fox has improved from last year. I think we'll know that. Or at least we'll have an idea after watching him play for three games next week.
Is there anything that you want to see particularly in the preseason, not individually, but from the team collectively?
Well, I definitely want to see up-tempo because that's all we've been hearing. So I think that the first thing, and you always talk about this, you got to rebound the basketball if you want to run.
You can't do it without that.
So the first thing I'm going to be looking at is who's going to rebound for this team?
Okay.
All right? Because that you, you know, running sounds great and everything, but it, last time I looked, it's very difficult to run if you're taking the ball out of the basket or you're not rebounding.
One thing that I thought that we saw in the California Classic, Grant, was the ability of Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles to rebound the basketball with two hands above the rim. Now, if they can start that break with one dribble, getting it to De'Aaron quickly, getting down the floor, I agree. I want to see a fast pace. I will live, this is just me personally, and I'm not coaching, obviously, I'll live with some turnovers if we can play that fast pace, because that's the only way that you're going to learn how to play fast and not turn the ball over, is sometimes you, that's what's going to happen. So get up and down, defense and rebound. That would be the staple for the preseason.
And I don't know if we should read too much into who starts right now based on the way Dave Yeager coached his team last year. We don't have Bogdan Bogdanovic to watch until the regular season at some point. So I'm not sure how he's going to figure out the two-guard position, whether Buddy starts, whether Iman Shumpert starts, and then you bring Buddy off the bench. I'll ask you, if a guy is projected as a sixth man, I hate to use the word role player for six man because I think six man is even more of a role. Okay, but so I'm going to we'll use that. Do you worry about then taking that player and starting him because you know you have a player like Bogdan coming back, or Bogdan, and so what happens if Buddy plays really well as the starter, then all of a sudden does Bogdan become your sixth man? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
How would you handle that?
There would be communication with myself and Buddy Hield as the coach that this is what we're going to do. Now, Coach Yeager and his staff, they see Buddy every single day. So they probably already know in their mind, do we need to keep him in this role for him to be ultimately successful? And if so, then you just plug somebody else in.
Here's the other issue. We know Iman Shumpert's a good defender.
Yes.
Would Buddy be more successful coming off the bench and playing against the other team's general backups? Because, you know, I'm not saying Buddy can't play as a starter. What I'm saying is Buddy coming off the bench, to me, he does one thing better than anybody else on the team, and that's shoot. Don't you want that type of guy coming off the bench to give you that spark?
Yes, you do, and it's vitally important. But Grant, if we look at this, let me take a quick peek. Okay, so let's go De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
Let's go Justin Jackson. I haven't got to the two guard yet. Let's go Justin Jackson at your three. Bagley or Harry Giles at the four, and Willie Cauley-Stein at the five. So where do you get your scoring at? And that's going to be probably key whether Buddy is there or he's not.
Yesterday, Dave Yeager made it clear to the media that Marvin and Harry are not playing the same position, because he was asked about that, and he was asked about playing them together, and he went through the whole process, and he said that they're playing different positions. They're not playing the same position.
So let me be clear about what you're saying. So they can play together.
He didn't say that. He said that would take the process of them playing together would not be something that would occur quickly. It would develop over a period of time, meaning more than one season.
Okay. So then depending on rebounding, because I would say probably at this particular time here, well, I don't know, because Marvin looks to rebound the basketball. The kid goes after it, looks like. I'm asking, where are you going to get your scoring from? Justin Jackson looked in the summer league to be able to put the ball in the basket. De'Aaron Fox, that is going to be the key. Is he? We've talked about this many times. Is he going to be super aggressive? Is he going to come out? Is he going to attack the basket, set other people up? So the reason I say that, Grant, is because that's what's going to dictate, in my opinion, whether Buddy starts or he comes off the bench.
Okay, then we talk about combinations. Whose game is better with whose game?
Yes.
In terms of putting the puzzle together.
That's huge.
All right, so Dave Yeager's got to put the puzzle together for the first group of five.
Yep.
And then your four guys coming off the bench, and I'm saying four, it could be three, it could be five. But my point is, who's going to be the backup point?
Right.
Is it going to be Frank? Is it going to be Yogi? Is it going to be, we knew Bogey was going to play some point. I don't see Buddy Hield in that role. I don't think Buddy is a backup point. I don't see him playing there. That's not what he does. I don't see that as a scenario. So let's just say, when De'Aaron is not in the game until Bogey comes back,
right?
Is it going to be Frank Mason or Yogi Ferrell?
That, and that's the competition piece that I just dying to see in practice.
Okay. Well, the one thing I do know about Yogi Ferrell, he is a very good shooter.
Yes. More offensive inclined. Yes.
If I'm looking at Marvin Bagley and Buddy Hield as my second unit, and I'm not precluding him, but you know, if for right now the starting five is De'Aaron Fox,
yep,
I'm going to put him on Shumpert at two, just because we got to give you a name.
Okay.
Justin Jackson at small forward.
Okay.
Harry Giles and Willie Cauley-Stein. Now I know that Dave Yeager said that Harry's playing a different position. So does that mean Harry's going to play predominantly five and not four?
Depending on...
I know. So
positionless, Grant, when it comes to the four and five.
I agree with that.
Yes.
All right? My question to you is, if you play Harry Giles and Willie Cauley-Stein on the floor together,
right,
does that combination, is it too congested around the basket?
So, because what you're looking for is someone to spread the court a little bit, and then someone to be inside.
Yes, that's why I'm asking
and
you that.
And that's the combination piece. I'll also pair it with who's a better pick and pop guy.
Yeah.
Who's a better pick and roll guy.
Right.
When Bogdan's playing, Bogdan looks for that lob a lot. Is De'Aaron, has he added that piece to his game, being able to throw the right hand, left hand lob coming off, because you got some really athletic guys. That's where training camp and practice is going to answer a lot of these questions for Coach Yeager.
And I'm very curious to see how Bielitsa is going to be used.
Yes.
Is he your backup three and your stretch four?
Right.
Okay, because that's what he did in Minnesota.
Right. And listen, he may be your best big shooter. Now,
that's
we
correct.
Know
Scal
can shoot it as well. And how much has he improved? Do you want to always play with the stretch four? If you do, that means he's away from the basket. You got to have a five that rebounds the basketball then, because it's important to make sure you're getting the rebounds.
Yeah. So you asked me, what am I really looking for? No, but that's what I'm looking for. Which guy plays best with the other guy? Because is it going to be Willie and Marvin? Is it going to be Willie and Harry? Is it going to be Marvin and Harry? You know what I mean? Like, in terms of those positions,
right?
I want to see. And listen, Costa Kufis knows how to play, too.
No doubt.
And Zach Randolph, and again, I don't see Zach playing a lot with the up-tempo, but, I mean, you just can't – he's on the team. Then what do you do with Bielitsa? How much time is he at three, and how much time is he at four?
And I will say this, Grant. There were many times when I was on teams and we were in training camp where sometimes – I was a starter, but he put me on a second-unit team because he wanted to see, could I be dominant – on a second unit team. Do you have the ability to do what we're expecting Buddy Hield to do when he comes in off the bench? These are little tiny tweaks that you got to play with to find out what a guy can do.
That's a great point. All of these things will begin on Monday when the Kings travel to Phoenix to take on the Phoenix Suns. And, of course, we'll have it for you right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. And then the Kings will come home Monday night. They will leave for L.A. on Wednesday, and then they will play Thursday in L.A. They will play Friday against the Warriors up in Seattle.
Man, it's here. It is absolutely here. I am excited. I've heard a lot of positives. I heard naysayers. I heard a lot of different things. The one thing I do know, Grant, is they throw the ball up on the hardwood. You got five guys out there. You get after it. The ability for teams to come together, young talent to develop. That's what I'm looking to see from this Kings team. Who is going to step up? Who is going to, like I always say, sacrifice of themselves to create the environment that is conducive for winning for the Kings?
All right. We are through one segment. Don't forget Brian Baldinger, NFL Network at 4. Thursday Night Football at 5. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, so I want to get back on the combinations.
Yes.
All right? So we talk about maybe your best player, maybe you have a guy that should start talent-wise, but he's better coming off the bench. Manu Ginobili, for example.
Yes.
All right? No one ever argued about that.
No.
But he was one of the top five players on that team.
Yes, he was. I mean, because think about it, Grant. When the opposition goes to their bench and brings in some talent. Manu Ginobili is dominating that person. Same thing when Bobby was here. Bobby's dominating that person. And right now, I think Buddy has found a way that he is dominating that person in a lot of respect.
If you want to get in on the program, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, one thing that's very interesting to me over the last 24 hours or so on my Twitter account and just going out and about is how much talk there's been over Willie Cauley-Stein's comments about getting paid. And I think
good or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
And I think that, not all bad, but I you know what, to me, I think that should be a lesson. And lesson may be too strong of a word, but I think that should be a reminder. Once again, just be careful what you say and just go out and play. Just, you know, if you play the way you're capable of, everything will work itself out. Everything will be taken care of.
You know, I didn't hear his initial comments, but I did hear the one where he came back. The problem that I have with it is, Grant, what we want athletes to do is be honest. And he just said something, and it kind of got everyone up in arms to the point where he had to come back and kind of explain what he was saying. Look, you play the game to make money. Do we want to always hear that? No, we don't. The only, like I said yesterday, the problem that I had with it was you should already know what it is to do to make the money.
All right. Here is his initial comment.
Okay.
Because you said you didn't hear his initial comment, so I want to be very clear.
Okay.
Quote, regardless of anything, I need this right now to change everybody's lives that are believing in what I'm doing. That's money. It's richer than money, but I just need the money to do what I really need to do.
Okay.
Now, that's kind of an alarming statement, to be honest with you, in my opinion. When I mean alarming, the follow-up question I already asked you about that is, assuming that you get your money,
mm-hmm.
will that change you as an individual?
And that would be the question that Vlade and everyone in the front office has to answer. Now, doing the same thing that Willie did at one point in my life, I understand what he's saying, because you have people in your family that depend on you and different things. And I think that that's what he's speaking to. Knowing a little bit of meeting Willie and being able to have him on our show here at KHDK and talking to him, he has interests also outside, and he may be talking about funding those interests and letting other people run them or whatever. The key question is the one that you asked, Grant. When you make that money, are you still going to be vested in what it is that got you that money? LeBron James is a great example, Grant, because a lot of people criticize LeBron about a lot of different things. He went to L.A., and this is his part-time job in the NBA. I've heard all these different things. But he never loses sight of the thing that creates everything, and that is basketball.
And he's not the only one that said a comment this week that has raised eyebrows. Kevin Durant said that his lack of accolades are due to, quote, pure hate for me. And I think Kevin Durant needs to settle down and pipe down a little bit, all right? He's been the MVP twice of the NBA Finals, all right? He is regarded by every person that covers the NBA as the second-best player in the league behind LeBron James, and he's upset that he wasn't first-team all-defensive player. I wouldn't have voted for him for first-team all-defensive player. I mean, stop being a crybaby. Just shut up and go out and play, would you please?
See, I'm going to look at it different than you, Grant, because listening to KD's comment, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm just telling you what I took from it. The team is so good that he's feeling like he doesn't get his respect. So, and pundits will say this. So, if the team is that good and you don't feel that you're going to get your respect, why'd you go to that team? If you wanted all the accolades, you could have stayed.
Because he took the easy way out. He jumped on the coattails of a championship team. That's why he did it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I have no respect I take that back. I have all the respect in the world for Kevin Durant as a basketball player. He's immensely talented. He is fun to watch. He is supremely gifted to a point where, other than LeBron, I think he's the best all-around player in the league. But to me, he hasn't accomplished anything. So what? He went to the Warriors and won a championship. Big deal.
Come on,
so what?
Grant.
They didn't need him. They already won a championship before he got there. They needed him.
That's why Draymond called him. As soon as they lost and they were up 3-1, Draymond's calling him in the parking lot saying, look, man, come here.
They didn't need him.
They needed him when he shot both of those three-pointers in the last two finals.
You know what? But you're assuming that if they didn't have Durant, they wouldn't have had anyone on the floor at all. They still
Durant
would have gotten
a good player. Durant was the biggest mismatch. That's, in my opinion, not that they wouldn't have won, because it's possible that they would have won
73 games without him.
And lost in the finals.
Yeah, but they won two finals, or a final before he got there. They didn't need him. My point is, again, we can beat this all to a pulp. There were a lot of people like me and many other people in the national media that feel the way I do. Doesn't mean we're right. It's just our opinion. But I disagree with what he's saying about postseason accolades. I don't think...
No, regular season accolades.
I mean, regular season accolades that are given in the postseason. That's what I meant.
Yes, yes.
I think he's wrong there. I think that the people that cover the league have immense respect for him. I think the people that vote on these awards have immense respect for him as a basketball player. And I don't feel that because he's on the Warriors, someone would say, I'm not voting for him. I don't believe that. I really don't.
Well, it's the usage rate. It's the amount of carrying that he has to do. Grant, he is an MVP candidate. He's MVP caliber player, but he's not having to put up MVP stats because he can pass it to Clay, he can pass it to Draymond, he can pass it to Steph, and they can do, and they do as much sometimes as him. So he's probably not going to be in those conversations, but he shouldn't get mad at the media because he put himself in that position.
Yeah, there are more important things to worry about than Kevin Durant being upset that he's not because people, according to him, hate him. I don't hate Kevin Durant. I'm critical of him going to the Warriors, but I don't hate him, nor do I hold it against him in terms of his basketball skills. He is the second best player in the game. I acknowledge that. I mean, I think if you don't acknowledge that, then you are being...
You don't know basketball.
That's right. Exactly right. Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's correct.
But I will say this, Grant, being in a situation, now I wasn't the player that KD was, but being in a situation, and I would say the Kings are probably the closest things that we've seen to the Warriors, meaning the style of play and also the camaraderie and the loving to play together. If you have a chance to leave someplace and come to that environment, man, you better try to take that. Because there's nothing like it, Grant. There's absolutely nothing like it.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I hear players make comments like this, and I don't know where it stems from. Like, what is it that Kevin Durant has not achieved in his life where he would say, I'm not going to win awards because people hate me. Stop it already. There's a difference between being critical like I am and right. many other national people than hate. No one hates you. Well, no one, and again, I really mean this. I don't think people are holding it against him that he's on the Warriors in terms of winning a regular season award. I don't believe in that.
Verlat, see. Do you have that the first one that you played for me in there that talks about kind of Kevin, the other people being fearful? Because I want Grant to hear that.
You know they're not going to give me anything. Even if it's on the fence, I have to be clear-cut better than everybody for me to even get a look. So,
How do you think that is?
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously.
Oh, stop it.
No appreciation for my real skill for the game, but I get it. I understand where we're coming from. I understand what we have here in this building that scares everybody.
You know what? I'm glad you played that.
Uh-huh.
Because I read it. I didn't hear it.
It's different when you hear it.
It's totally different, and I actually just lost a lot of respect for Kevin Durant because if he really feels that way, something's wrong with him. If he feels that way... It's just shut up. You know, when I hear a comment like that, if I'm a Warriors fan, I'm like, shut up. Would you please shut up and go out and play the game? That is asinine.
Warriors fans are excited.
We're talking about the second best player in the world that is acknowledged as such by just about every media member and person that watches the game. And he's not going to win anything because people hate him. Shut up.
Be nice.
I am being nice. You should. If you're lucky we're on. If I was on satellite radio, I'd be going a lot more than I am. That is asinine. Kevin Durant, shut up and play the game. We'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie. Don't forget Brian Baldinger in about 15 minutes right here on Sports 1140. Why don't we get to some phone calls, and we start with Ralph. Hello, Ralph. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you again. So I know you guys are talking about the like Kings rotations and combinations. Who would you say was our best player last year?
Last year? Probably Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Yeah, I agree. I think so, too. And that's why I think that, you know, how far we're going to go is really, at least this season, is going to be dependent on Bogdan. But I think for the future, though, it's definitely going to be De'Aaron Fox.
Well, I would disagree with you, because I think what we know we have in Bogdan, I think he's even going to be a little better than he was. But the ceiling on De'Aaron Fox, he's ready to take that next step. And if he takes that next step, you just imagine having a player like Bogdan beside him. It just makes it all the better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even as a young player, I know there wasn't too much consistency yet with De'Aaron, but his ability to close games, that's something you can't teach, and that willingness to take the big shot. And my other question is, you know, do you see, what is your guys' prediction for, or do you guys think we can hit, you know, 40 wins this season?
I would say 40 wins in this conference would be highly, highly unlikely.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's so deep this year, but I mean, I feel like there's got, I don't know, maybe too many teams overlook us, but because it's so competitive for a playoff spot, maybe every team is going to want to cut our throat.
I just think in this conference with the youth of this team, I think 40 is, again, I think that's really aiming for the stars.
The one thing that is a positive out of that negative that you just mentioned, that licking your chops, when teams do that to you, you're either going to step up or you're going to have to step aside, because you're going to get the hell beat out of you, one of the two. So it's going to show a lot of the character and the desire and the willingness to compete at a high level by a lot of our young talent.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And then last question, I guess at the small forward spot, I know, you know, every now and then we're going to have to play the perennial all-star at the wing spot, whether it's LeBron, Giannis, Paul George. Do you think that's Justin Jackson is where he's going to be able to step up, or if Amon Shumpert is, you know, healthy, is that where he's going to fill in? I think that's going to be an interesting situation.
I think you're going to see a bit of both, and that's what I mean for Justin Jackson. This is going to be a big task, and being up to that, part of what it is, and Grant and I talk about this a lot, is he is that perfect size to be a really good defender and has the athleticism and the length. Can he take that next step, and can he compete against guys like that? We've seen Iman Shepherd on stages that where we know he's right. A dog. He's going to get after it. But that's what you need out of Justin Jackson.
Yeah, well, I hope he's ready, guys. I'm excited for this season. Doug, I'm excited for your new role with
thank you.
Expanded role with the team. And, you know, I saw something on ESPN where we're rated the worst miserable franchise as far as fans in the league. I'm hoping, you know, we can turn it around.
As far as fans?
Yeah.
We got the best freaking fans in the world. That shows that ESPN doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Have you been to Memphis?
Maybe Jay Billis did it.
No, actually, Memphis has good fans. I have to take that back. You know, whatever you want to say about
Memphis. Not making any rude comments about Memphis. I love that city.
Barbecue?
They love Memphis. just cannot wait to get there. David, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, not much. I just had a comment on Willie Cauley-Stein's comments.
Yes.
I think from a PR standpoint, he kind of needs to be careful, because I think, and you know, I give the rule of thumb like you guys do on a draft pick, at least 2, probably 3 years to evaluate it. And in 3 years, this guy has done nothing to merit being the number 6 pick in the draft. You know, to hear him talking about money and stuff, that's a little, you know, I don't know if that's in his best interest. What do you guys think?
I would think that he needs to be a little more careful with his comments. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, the focus for him, like, the byproduct is money. And maybe someone needs to explain that. What's going to get you that is the production on the floor. It's never funny to talk about your money. So just go and play.
Right.
Right, and real quickly, guys, I just wanted to touch on an issue that you guys brought up about 2 weeks ago, specifically Grant. It's kind of I'm kind of concerned for the future of the Kings, and I want them to win as badly as you guys do, not because of their front office or anything, but because of the trend of, you know, like with Jimmy Butler, these guys being able to force their way out. and almost hold the organization hostage. I don't see a situation in the near future where smaller teams, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Memphis, these teams can compete. I mean, what's going to happen in 4 years? De'Aaron gets really good, and then he's going to decide he wants out.
Yeah, it's a bad look for the league. I agree with you.
All right, guys. Thanks. You have a good day.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
It is, Grant, but that's why you build the culture. You build the infrastructure that makes players not only want to stay, but want to come here. As a city, it is Sacramento's continued to grow. I mean, downtown is looking phenomenal. There are big things happening, Golden One Center. So from that standpoint, that's not something players can point to, is say, oh, well, they don't have this, they don't have that. No, everything is here. Now you got to build the right culture and things. And once that happens, I don't think you're going to have a bigger problem as people think.
All right, 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Brian Baldinger is going to be coming on in about 10 minutes. We got a lot of things to talk about him, including the game tonight with the Rams and the Vikings. We'll have that game for you. We'll get you out to the Coliseum at 5 o'clock for Thursday night football.
It is here. Football season. Baseball's about to jump off. Man. Hockey's coming. Basketball is here, Grant. It is the time of the year. Thursday night football, it should be a good one. These are two teams that it could be a preview of the NFC Championship.
It could. I think the Rams, barring injuries to their skill people, quarterback, running back, I think they're going to end up with home field this year. I think they're in the best position. Their division now without Garoppolo is not very strong. They should go 6-0 in their division.
I think.
They're going to beat Seattle twice. They're going to go 6-0 in their division.
Come on, man. We might start trending in the right direction,
man. Come on, man. Come on.
Really?
Come on.
It's like that?
Well, I mean, Seattle's not it's not an automatic. It's not a pushover.
That's
but
right.
They're going to have a very difficult time beating the Rams.
Come on, Hawks. Let's go.
Wait till the game gets there first, all right, please?
How about that? And you know what? The problem with this whole thing, Grant, is the Rams, even when they weren't good, they always play as well. Always.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and then you look at Sue and Donald and ugh.
Let's get to KD. Hello, KD.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Hey,
good.
I just want to comment on this. Doug, you made a great point. I've been a Kings fan for a long time. Most of the players that have played here, some of them have not wanted to come here, but most of them wanted to play for this city. They wanted to play for these fans.
Mm-hmm.
Even, controversial players like DeMarcus. DeMarcus loved playing for this town, even though a lot of people don't have issue with him. They like playing for him. And I think that goes back to, once again, the culture, but it includes the coach, it includes the front office, and people will want to stay.
Yes.
They will want to play for this town. And I think people have, making a big mistake saying if a kid gets really good, he wants to leave. I think there's something else going on in Minnesota outside Jimmy Butler. I think there's a cultural problem that's going on inside that locker room, and I think more will come out in the future.
I think that a lot of the players don't like playing for Tom Thibodeau. He's so regimented. He's like I used the analogy General Patton.
Yes.
He's a drill sergeant, and a lot of players don't like that.
Listen, the only guy who was on the same team with him is the guy who doesn't want to be there in Jimmy Butler. That's why I say that we're probably looking at Thibodeau's days as being numbered in Minnesota.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. All right. You guys spot on with that. Thanks.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know how else that you would analyze it. I mean, and you and I.
I thought that was KD calling to jump on you. I thought you were going to answer the phone. He was going to go, Grant Napier, wait till we see you. I'm going to give you 50, and I'm going to snarl at you all game there, buddy.
He might get 50, and if he wants to snarl at me, I'll snarl right back at him.
Yeah, doesn't do anything
for him. I got
nothing
against
Kevin. You're just going to make him mad,
Grant. I would
say,
hey, Kevin, I'm sorry I have you second behind LeBron. I apologize that I said you're the second greatest player on the planet. When we come back, we'll talk with Brian Baldinger, NFL Network.